Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sounds like a block party.
Oh, yeah. Little Mayor Hawthorne.
Yeah.
Penny and ginger ale. Good stuff.
This is great block party weather, by the way. The humidity is real low. It's only going to get up into the mid-80s today. That's not bad at all. This is a great time to have a block party. Happens around my neighborhood quite a bit. They'll block off a whole street, and everybody comes out and brings out something to eat, something to drink, and has a blast. We're back on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. Royals beat the White Sox last night 6-4. Good night for Alberto Mondesi and Whit Merrifield, driving in runs, scoring runs. Chesler Cuthbert continues to play well, playing some great defense as well. Homer Bailey actually pitching pretty good for the first time in a while, went 6 innings. Didn't get the win, but it was a quality start. Sporting KC on the road last night had a 2-1 lead at Toronto into the 90th minute, then to the 95th minute, and gave up a goal at the end, so it was a draw 2-2. Sporting gets the 1 point instead of the 3 that they really wanted. And we talked about that last hour with Matt Lawrence. If you missed any of that, you can get the podcast at 810WHB.com. In the first hour, we talked with Reed Forgrave from CBSSports.com about the NBA playoffs. That was really good stuff from Reed. If you missed that, you can get that on the podcast at 810WHB.com. Joining us now on the line is Aaron Torres from Fox Sports Radio. Covers college football, college basketball, a little bit of everything. Aaron, how are you on this Saturday morning?
I'm well. And I'll also say Reed Forgrave, great guy, great reporter, good friend of mine. I don't know if you feature him regularly. I know he lives in the area or not too far from you. But great guy. I'm flattered to share a platform with both him and you guys. So thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Well, Reed, we had never had on the show before, and Chris lined him up.
Okay.
And I said, you know, I've read his stuff on Twitter. I don't know much about him. You never know. You bring somebody on, he comes on. He was awesome. He was insightful. He's funny. All the qualities you need in a good radio guest.
Yeah, well, certainly. And as somebody who hosts radio and a podcast, I know that booking guests that are both informative but also interesting for your audience is not always the easiest thing. Reed and I were at FoxSports.com together when the website kind of still existed in its written form. And I don't know if he was a mentor to me, but he was a little bit older, and we were both kind of the only two guys that really did college hoops. And he always kind of gave me an ear. He's just been incredibly helpful. Great guest, great guy. Glad to see him killing it at CBS. Actually, he was covering a little bit of the NCAA tournament out here in Anaheim, and so I saw him probably about a month and a half ago when Texas Tech rolled through Anaheim and steamrolled everybody. So anyway, great guy. Glad you guys connected, and happy to be with you this morning, Brad.
Sure, absolutely. And I do want to promote your podcast, the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast, so people can go catch that and just go look for it. I wish FoxSports.com had kept most of their writers, but they decided we're not keeping anybody. I'm not going to ask you to bag on your former employer. I just, when it happened, I was like, you sure you want to go down this road? Because writing's kind of a big deal, and other venues have stepped in to fill in the space. So I'm
exactly
happy.
I was going to say I'm happy. It's worked out well for me. All I'll say about that is, and yeah, without disparaging too many people, I think a lot of us on the inside kind of knew it was coming. And, for the most part, a lot of the people that I work with have gone on to success. Some of them have moved away from the space. But, Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob,
yep,
was a coworker of mine. And I actually was texting him last night during the game. He's killing it. And a few others. But, yeah, man, so anyway, enough about my background. People don't want to hear, if they want my biography, they can, it was a weird couple months, but we've all landed on our feet. I mean, I'm thrilled to have a national radio show on Saturday nights, to have my podcast, to do the different writing things that I do. So it all worked out, you know.
Well, that's good stuff. And look, I've been through it before a couple of years ago at the TV station where I used to work. After 20 years, they came and kind of whacked everybody. But it happens and we all move on. And we all we all meet in other spaces, which is why we have you here. And I'm here as well. So we're speaking with Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at @Aaron_Torres, talking college basketball here. Some interesting developments over the last few days, Aaron, for us locally. Isaiah Moss, the Iowa grad transfer, had committed to Arkansas. Looked like that was kind of a done deal. And then all of a sudden he comes out and says, well, maybe I'm not going to Arkansas. And of course, our antennas go up because Kansas seems like a natural fit. Grad transfer, had a decent season, not overwhelming. At Iowa, put up some decent numbers, and I just looked at the wrong thing on my sheet because I had it jotted down, but I'll find it. But he was averaging a little over 9 points a game for the Iowa Hawkeyes. He started all 35 games, so he was a dependable player for the Hawkeyes, and it seems like KU would be a nice place to slide in.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, and just kind of in the broader spectrum, is how much I don't know if it's technically all recruiting, but how much activity now happens after the NBA, after the season ends, right? I mean, April, it's so funny, I put out my top 25 like we all do on whatever it was, April 7th or 6th, the day after Virginia won the national championship. I think I had Kansas about 12th, 13th. I had Iowa, ironically, in the top 15. Michigan was a top five team, and it's just incredible how much, like I said, activity happens. I mean, you have high school kids who I think smartly, a lot of them kind of wait to see how rosters shake out, who stays, who goes from the NBA draft process. And then you have the graduate transfers. And so you look at Kansas, I mean, just since the season ended, to not have Azubuike, obviously coming off injury, declare for the draft. I know last year he went through the process, but he didn't even test the waters this year. Obviously the Silvio D'Souza news, Devon Dotson, that news. And then you're still recruiting with Jalen Wilson, the former commit from Michigan, and then, of course, Isaiah Moss, as you alluded to, from Iowa. It was funny. I was on air in Arkansas just touting how important he is to that year's team.
Oh, no.
Yesterday. Yeah, well, they have a kid named Kerry Blackshear, former Virginia Tech player on campus, and we're talking about, well, if they get Kerry Blackshear, how does he fit in with all the guys, and are they a tournament team, and what kind of seed can they get? And Isaiah Moss is going to play this big role, and then like 4 hours later, he decommits. So anyways, I'm just kind of dancing around circles here, but one, it's incredible to me how much of this stuff happened after the season ends, but two, I'm with you, I can't say that I followed that recruitment particularly closely, but Kansas obviously was the only other school that he visited, and it does make sense. They have a hole without Quentin Grimes. They have good guard play, but they need three-point shooting, and they need just shooting in general, and I think he does make a lot of sense.
We're speaking with Aaron Torres from Fox Sports Radio, talking college basketball, and we're talking about Isaiah Moss, the Iowa grad transfer. Had committed to Arkansas and then backed out, and now it looks like Kansas could be in on it. You talked about the shooting that could fit in with Kansas. As I mentioned, he averages just over 9 points a game last season, 40% from the floor, but 42% from downtown.
Yep.
And that they need that three-point shooter, and the line's going back a little bit, which I'll ask you about in a couple of minutes, but he seems to fit that mold. If KU needs that three-point shooter, Isaiah Moss can be that guy.
Yeah, 100%. And, that's the one thing is, with college basketball, the way that it is today, it's just so hard to build a program on a year-to-year basis when you have so many guys that want to test the waters, might come back, might not, might transfer. But it was so shocking last year to just see a Kansas team that just can't shoot, right? I mean, this is the program that, Svi Mykhailiuk and you go on and on down the list through the years. And I think Quentin Grimes was obviously supposed to fill that role, but you start to look at who's coming back next year. Dotson was a good three-point shooter, but he wasn't great. Marcus Garrett is more of a drive and penetrate kind of guy. Same with, just say his name for me.
Ochai Agbaji?
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock out here in the morning. I'm not even going to attempt to say it.
Hey, look, I covered him going back to high school at Oak Park, and I still have to pause and just read it myself before I say it. But it's Ochai Agbaji.
okay, Ochai Adebaji. Like, yeah, no, like, all those guys are kind of dribble penetration, slasher-type guards. And so it's just it is incredible to think about a Kansas team last year that didn't really shoot the three-point ball well. And then coming into this year as well, it didn't look like a strength. So, yes, Isaiah Moss would fill a very needed void. And then, oh, by the way, with the expansion of the three-point line, with the fact that Kansas is going to be able to go back to that traditional two-big lineup that they love so much with Silvio D'Souza back and Udoka Azubuike, I think it all shapes up really nicely, and it shapes up nicely for Kansas to be really good, but it also makes a lot of sense for Isaiah Moss to be kind of that quote-unquote missing puzzle piece.
Hey, you mentioned the three-point line. It's about, what, a foot and a half, a foot and three quarters? They're moving it back to the international line. And I'm not sure it's going to make a huge difference. I'm sure the numbers might decline a little bit. But these kids now grow up shooting threes from the time they're 5 years old. Everybody wants to launch the three. It's like the old, you know, back in the 90s with Major League Baseball, you know, chicks dig the long ball. Kids dig the three-point shot. That's what they want to do. And they're growing up doing it. They're doing it in high school, and they get to college. And it's just, for a lot of kids, it's a jump shot now. So I thought they probably should have done this a couple of years ago, maybe longer. But how much of an effect, if any, do you think it'll have on the college game?
Yeah, no, I think you can analogize it too to football. I mean, you guys see it with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, it seems crazy for a quarterback in the NFL to throw the ball 40 times a game, but the high school level, these kids now are growing up having done that since you know the middle school into the feeder programs into their high school into the Big 12 and all that stuff. So, anyway, to answer your question. I don't know what the effect is going to be. It's funny, like I saw John Calipari, somebody asked him about this, and he's like, we're just going to have to wait and see. But to me, I'll tell you this, is that I think that college basketball has a lot of public perception problems, and I think most of them aren't fair. Like, anybody who knows my work knows that I'm a defender of college basketball. I think it gets a bad rap, whatever. But I think one of the things that would help college basketball in terms of retaining players that maybe aren't NBA players is to make it more like the NBA game. And it is kind of crazy. Like, look, every program's got to do what they can to win. But the college game with the three-point line and the two halves and the four, it doesn't resemble the NBA game at all. And so, I'm not saying it needs to be like, NBA 2.0, and obviously the level of play we all know will never, ever, ever come close to the level of play that these guys have in the NBA. But I do think, like, hey, if guys really feel like they are developing into NBA, if they're developing kind of more in a way that puts them on a trajectory to the NBA, I think that helps college basketball. So I think it helps college basketball to move back the three-point line. I know it's the FIBA line technically, but it's obviously a little bit more in line with what the NBA three-point line looks like. And then, of course, as we just alluded to, it helps with spacing. It helps with some of the NBA concepts. And I don't claim to be enough of an X's and O's expert to know exactly how it's all going to look or what teams are going to run now as opposed to what they ran before. But like I said, I do think that it helps college basketball. I think it helps from a public perception standpoint of, and this is something that I wouldn't even deny, and I'm somebody who loves college basketball. I think it helps from a public perception standpoint because you watch the college game and you watch the NBA game. It's two completely different games, and I do think it's cool to get them more in line with each other.
We're speaking with Aaron Torres from Fox Sports Radio, also has a great podcast called the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast. You know, I never even thought about quarters versus halves until you mentioned it, because when my kids and I watch games, sometimes they'll ask, like my oldest is in high school now, but they used to ask, okay, so high school has four quarters, right? Yes. College has two halves, yes. NBA has four quarters, yes. Well, college women has four quarters, yes. Why the two halves? It doesn't make sense. I don't even remember the reason they did it, if it was to speed up the game or help with the continuous flow. I don't know why they did it, but I never thought about it until you just brought that up. It doesn't look like the NBA game.
I don't actually know the logic either. And by the way, I'm not, there are a lot of people that say we need to go to four quarters. And I'm like, I don't really know about that. And what the argument is, it breaks up the game a little bit more. There's more kind of flow. You know, listen, I actually think the college game, in a lot of ways, I actually like the flow more, because say what you want about the college game, right up until, like when you watch a college game versus an NBA game, and maybe I'm in the minority here, I feel like it goes by way faster. And I think in kind of the era that we live in, short attention spans, all that stuff, like I think the college game is easily digestible. And I think that's a big reason why ratings for the NCAA tournament were through the roof. Is like, it is, you know, the game starts, you get going, the game ends, and you move on to the next one. So, yeah, the corners thing, there are writers. I think Mike DeCourcy might be one. I can't remember. So there's two or three that are very passionate about college basketball needing to move to four quarters. I don't know that that's where I stand necessarily, but on the flip side, you know, like, if like it does kind of play to what you said a minute ago, Brad, is like it doesn't totally make sense that, you know, it doesn't totally make sense that, you know, that every other level of basketball, like you said, high school, NBA, women's college, by the way, FIBA is four quarters as well. It doesn't really make sense why college is the only one with two halves.
And they play eight fewer minutes, too, than the NBA. I got a couple of players to ask you about, too, sure. Aaron. Jalen Wilson, which you mentioned earlier in the show, he had committed to Michigan, and then when John Boeheim bailed out to go to Cleveland, which I still, that seems odd to me, but whatever.
Really? I think it's pretty cool.
It's cool. The timing of it and everything else just seemed a little bit odd, and I'd never heard him say anything about NBA dreams. But Jalen Wilson is now back out, four-star kid. And Matt Tate from KUSports.com wrote earlier this week that he texted Jalen's mom, and his mom texted back, "Stay tuned." And this is the game the kids like to play. Now, you got to keep guessing. You got to tune in. Which hat am I going to put on in the whole game? But the only other school that he visited this past week was North Carolina. So certainly a big key player and a wing player who would be a big get for Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks.
Yep. Yeah, no, I saw it. It sounds like he's about ready to make his decision. It really does feel like it's down to Kansas, maybe North Carolina. And look, you know, I think, you know, four-star kid, obviously when you go to Michigan, you're planning on being in college for two or three years, but you're probably somebody with NBA upside. So, you know, I think that, say what you want about, you know, some of the stuff that's happened with Bill Self over the last couple of years. I think he's an incredible developer of talent, though. And so you look at Jalen Wilson, you know, kind of a wing player, potential top, you know, he's like a top 30, top 40 prospect. Like, I think he would make a ton of sense at Kansas and be a really interesting piece. So, you know, I don't cover recruiting well enough to know if he has a lean or anything like that. But I do know that kind of his skill set in that system with that coaching staff, you know, I think you could be talking about a potential NBA player two or three years down the line.
We're speaking with Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio. One other player to ask about, Aaron, is RJ Hampton. And this was kind of this kind of came out of the blue. He was, I guess he was pretty close to announcing he was going to come to Kansas. And then this team in New Zealand offers him a deal. And I think they play most of their games in Australia, even though the team is based in New Zealand. And I think the Barstool Sports guys are involved with this. They're part owners of the team or something. But so RJ Hampton decides, you know what? He said openly, "I never had a dream to play college basketball." And that's fine. It's not everybody's dream. So he's going to go to New Zealand, probably make a nice little chunk of change, I don't know, $60,000-$70,000, and live a decent life abroad and get an experience that he wouldn't otherwise get. But I'm wondering if this is going to be, I don't know if it's a trendsetter. We've seen it happen before, but we'll see more kids do this. Just, you know what, I'm not into college. I'll just go to Europe or New Zealand or Asia or somewhere else and play for a year, and then I'll be back.
Well, I think a couple things. One, I do think I think it all really ultimately comes down to how RJ Hampton does this year. If he's completely off the radar, if it somehow hurts his draft stock, if he just isn't talked about, you know, like that's my whole thing is if you don't like college, if you don't like college, if you don't like school, whatever. By the way, RJ Hampton was a really good student. Like his school wasn't really the issue. But like I think there's real value, and this is something that, you know, I just will argue to my death, and people will argue with me, and I don't think they're right on. Like there is real marketing value to college basketball, and like RJ Hampton, like I think for the most part he's going to be off the grid next year. Like yeah, are his highlights maybe going to pop up on Twitter and Ball Is Life? Like Yeah, sure, maybe. But, you know, Zion Williamson, they were talking about on First Take. Zion Williamson, they were talking about on Skip Bayless's show with Shannon Sharp, you know, Colin Cowherd. Like there's real value to college basketball. And so to answer your question, I do think it could become a little bit of a mini trend because RJ Hampton, kind of within the grassroots basketball culture, I think even amongst his peers is kind of considered a trendsetter. And you know, he kind of, you know, the other guys in high school basketball look up to him. But I also think it really comes down to how does he play? Does he get on the court? Is he a contributor? By the way, does it hurt his draft stock? You know, I mean, look, let me give you like even a contemporary example. Everyone's talking about, all these guys that went overseas 10 years ago, blah, blah, blah. How about Mitchell Robinson 2 years ago? Mitchell Robinson, for people who don't know, actually Kansas fans would probably know because he visited Kansas, but was committed to Western Kentucky, showed up at Western Kentucky, and then just decides, you know, with like a week before the season starts, I don't want to play basketball this year. I'm just going to train all year. And I heard at that point, oh, this kid's going to be a trendsetter. Why go to college basketball? Just train for a year. Well, he went from a potential top 10, top 15 pick to the second round of the draft. And maybe I missed something. I don't see that trend. Maybe the trend is happening and I just missed it, but I don't see it. So the point is with RJ Hampton, and, you know, I got a lot of backlash because I kind of called out the league. I don't think, you know, you talk to these NBA draft writers, they try to sell you how great this league is. I'm just saying there's not a lot of guys in there that can play at the NBA level. But, you know, I don't blame the kid for wanting to go get money, but I do think his success will determine whether this becomes a little bit of a mini trend. But I also do think that it's disingenuous to talk about the value in college basketball in many ways when you look at the fact that, forget Zion Williamson, how about Ja Morant? One game in the NCAA tournament completely changed Ja Morant's life. So we'll see with RJ Hampton. I'm curious to see, and I know a lot of people across basketball are as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many American basketball fans are going to be sitting up at night watching a streaming broadcast of the New Zealand team playing in Australian basketball. You know, I totally get it, though.
Real quick, Brad, I don't know how much time we have here, but, you know, my whole thing, and I always say this, and you know, people say, well, Zion Williamson had a million Instagram followers before he came to college. And I always say, like, there's a difference between being internet famous and famous, right?
Yes.
Like, there's a lot of models on Instagram that have a million followers that nobody knows who they are. And there's a lot of basketball. Let us be honest. There's a lot of high school basketball players that have 200, 300, 400, a million a million Instagram followers. But, you know, Skip Bayless doesn't know who that guy is, and Stephen A. Smith doesn't know who that guy is. And that was really what was eye-opening to me about this Zion Williamson season, is from day – like literally I turned on – well, you know, I worked out in the mornings, and I'm at the gym. First Take leads their show with Duke beating Kentucky by 100 points. And Zion became a talking point all season long. RJ Barrett became a talking point all season long. I do think there's real value to that. And guess what? Next year, the year before it was Trae Young, and the year before that it was Lonzo Ball. Next year it's going to be somebody else. Who it is remains to be seen. But the only point is, like, I don't, like, even if RJ Barrett or RJ Hampton balls out, like, I don't like people say, oh, like, look at him. It's like, yeah, there's a difference between a 30-second clip on YouTube blowing up and every sports show in America talking about you. Like, I'm sorry. Like that's one, like I said, I'll fight to my death on. If you want to argue the competition's better, if you want to argue it's better to just focus on basketball, I'm not going to fight you on that. But I will fight you that college basketball playing 30 times a year on national TV plus the NCAA tournament, like, that has real value for a kid going forward.
We're speaking with Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio. Just a funny thought that popped into my head when you were talking about the difference between internet famous and real famous, or Twitter famous and real famous, because social media world is not a reflection of the country at large. And so I was reading this funny story, probably on Twitter, I don't know. There's some Instagram influencer, I don't know what her name is, I never heard of her, And she's got a million.
32 t-shirts.
Yeah, she had 32 t-shirts. Thank you. I wanted to make sure I wasn't the only nerd in the room. But she's got a million followers, and she wants everybody to buy this t-shirt. Hey, please buy my t-shirt. And then she came back a few days later. Well, I only sold 32, and I don't know if they're even going to make them for me. And she's crying crocodile tears. I'm like, that's the difference. People are logging on just to see you in a, I don't know, in a bikini or something like that. They're not into you.
Exactly. Yeah, no, and yeah, man, and that's the whole, like, first of all, that was a really funny story.
Yes, it was.
And like you said, like, I think, like, it over, like, I just think that, you know, and this comes into, you know, this comes back to, you know, just what I think is, you know, like, just, I just think that it's just with, like, with college basketball, it's like we spend so much time, and maybe it's different where you are, Brad, because everyone loves the Jayhawks, but people at large just spend so much time just crushing college basketball, picking apart college basketball, and one of the arguments is, well, you know, they deserve their market value. And it's like, no disrespect, but like I'm trying to think of an example. Like, what market value does the seventh player on Kansas's bench that doesn't play have? Like, people come to Kansas games to watch Kansas. Like, I don't know how, like, and I don't want to pick on a kid here, right? But, like, how many people have woken up this morning in a morning and said, I got to go see Marcus Garrett tonight? You know, like, and so the point I'm trying to make is that I think we just overvalue, like, how important individual players are. Now, there are players that have that kind of magnetism, whether it's in football, basketball, whatever, Zion Williamson, Johnny Manziel, Lonzo Ball, where, yeah, I was at UCLA the year before Lonzo Ball was there, and there was 6,000 people in the stands. A year later, it was sold out every game. But I also think that we overvalue, like, oh, well, you know, well, they deserve their market value. It's like, how many guys on Kansas really is the community, like if we had a name and likeness kind of deal, like, how many people on that roster is everyone rushing to try and get to endorse their products? Maybe one or two guys, Devon Dotson, I don't know who else. But, like, the point is, I'm just saying, is, like, I just think I think the whole conversation is just wrong, to be perfectly honest, about the value that these guys have, whether it's coming out of high school, whether it's coming, you know, whether it's while they're in college. I just don't believe there's nearly as many people that people are interested in seeing and endorsing and this and that. And I think it's something I argue all the time, but I think the college game has done a lot of kids a lot of good.
We're speaking with Aaron Torres. My goodness, Aaron, I could talk for like 2 hours on all this stuff. But let me get to a final thing here. You were out in Southern California for an AAU tournament last week. Any hot news, any hot takes coming out of that? Any names that are kind of bubbling to the top that we should be paying attention to?
No, you know, the kid that really stood out, so the number one player in America in the incoming senior class, his name's Evan Mobley. You know, he lives out here in Southern California. His dad is an assistant coach at USC, and basically no one is recruiting him, right? So, like, that to me is an interesting story in and of itself. Like, last year, even James Wiseman, you know, the thought was that he would go to Memphis, but I don't think it was like a done deal, until late in his recruitment. I think he wanted to see Penny coach a little bit and who he would bring in and stuff like that. So I think it's interesting that the number one player is basically not even being recruited. Number two player in America is a really interesting player. His name's Cade Cunningham. I was really excited to see him. The recruiting services had him ranked about, you know, somewhere in like that 8 to 12 range. And they were all saying, hey, when we redo our rankings, this guy's going to move up. He's underrated at number 8, number 9, number 10, whatever. And sure enough, he was just a really, really impressive kid, really poised, plays at Montverde Academy, but he's originally from the Dallas area. I was telling you off air, Brad, like, you know, the early buzz is that, and he told me this himself, I talked to him a little bit, he really likes Oklahoma State. Mike Boynton was the first coach to offer him a scholarship, believe it or not, back when Mike Boynton was still an assistant at Oklahoma State. So this is dating back to his freshman year of high school. He loves the staff. He loves the relationship he has with them. But I'm just genuinely curious, as Kentucky ramps things up and as Duke and as Kansas and as schools like that ramp things up, I'm just really curious to see if the relationship at Oklahoma State weighs out, or if just ultimately he feels like a Kansas or a Kentucky or a Duke is a better path to get him to the NBA. He's a really good player, though, really good player.
Aaron, great information. We always love having you on the show. And again, go to Fox. You can listen on Fox Sports Radio. You can also listen to the podcast, the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast, or follow on Twitter at @Aaron_Torres. Good stuff, Aaron. I wish I had another 2 hours to keep going on this because I could get into so many different issues.
No problem. Anytime you need me, just feel free to holler, Brad, okay?
All right, absolutely. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Brett.
All right, that is Aaron Torres. He is money every time he comes on the show.
It's a fun time. He always has some takes for us that some people might disagree with, some people might like, but it's always something fun. So,
well, now that we've finished our discussion with him, I totally see why he and Reed Forgrave, who was on in hour number one, totally see how they get along so well. I can get that just by listening to them.
Both very similar. Energetic, have a lot of energy, which I love.
Yeah.
When, you know, especially on a morning when people are starting to get up and have that. And he's on the West Coast, so it's awesome just to have that kind of energy from a guest.
So we were kind of talking, and I know we're coming up on a break here. We were talking about RJ Hampton going over to New Zealand, and he had said, I would have gone to Kansas if that was the route I could have taken. How much of an appetite for highlights, information on RJ Hampton is there? Will people be dialing up this streaming broadcast? Will people be specifically looking for his highlights? Will they be hitting the team website looking for the stats? I just don't think there's an appetite for that. I think out of sight, out of mind, when you get to the NBA next year, if you get to the NBA next year, then we'll pay attention. But for me, I have zero interest in keeping up with what he's doing in New Zealand. I mean, I will because it's part of the job, but it serves no interest for me.
Obviously, it's a case-by-case basis in terms of, I mean, no one in the U.S. is probably going to be watching New Zealand Breakers basketball. Let's just be honest. That's not happening. I mean, no, and you'll see highlights, of course, like you guys said on Twitter and other things. Maybe there'll be traffic about, you know, games and how his performances are, box scores and whatnot. But the real important people will be watching games. That
is the scouts,
NBA
scouts, the scouts
and whatnot. Listen, if RJ Hampton ends up being a phenomenal talent in the NBA, becomes an all-star, then yes, you might see kids taking more of that path. And there's no problem with that. And everybody thinking that this trend is going to continue and just completely destroy college basketball.
I don't think
so. I think it's just kind of naive to think that, because some guys, if you don't genuinely want to be there, then go do what you want to do. If you don't feel like your place is to be in college basketball, then go overseas, go make money, do what you want to do. If someone wants to employ you and give you maybe $200,000 or $300,000 for a year to play overseas, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kids coming out of high school if you have another opportunity, if someone offers you $200,000 or $300,000 coming out of high school, most people will take that because you can do college down the road. You can get your education later in life. People do that. It's not common all the time, but people do it and complete their degree. So, and this, he seems like a bright kid. He seems like the grades were not an issue like for some of these other players, like an Emmanuel Mudiay who did it, or even a Brandon Jennings. I don't think it's going to be a common trend, especially when the NBA does decide that they will repeal their one and done, or repeal the age back down to 18. You're going to see a lot of guys go, maybe 15 to 20 go from high school and enter their name in the NBA draft. Some won't be picked. Some will maybe be undrafted free agents and play in the G League. But I don't see this as something horrible for college basketball or something that's going to hamper the game or the talent level or whatnot, because there's not a lot of guys there's a lot of people that would get homesick being over in New Zealand. Some guys might not want to go halfway across the world to play basketball. Some guys, it's like I said, it's a case-by-case basis.
Right, and I know Soren talked about it a couple of weeks ago. He's got a friend who lived there, and it's not sunsplash beaches, if that's what you think New Zealand is. It's not as nice as you think it is. And I also agree with Aaron on this. maybe some people underestimate the value of just playing that 1 year in terms of what you're on television twice a week, right? Normally, if you're a big school like Duke, Kansas, North Carolina, you're on national television twice a week. So you're getting attention, you're getting eyeballs, you're getting marketed. I mean, Zion Williams coming out of high school, I think we all of us who cover sports, we kind of knew who he was a little bit. We'd seen the highlights, we'd seen the numbers, and we knew the recruiting stuff. Well, Duke's going to get Zion Williamson. But when you see him play twice a week on national television and see just how dominant a player he is, there's a value to that. In New Zealand, out of sight, out of mind, I get it. Don't want to go to college? Fine, go do what you want. But there's something to be said for the marketing value of playing
and there's
that
always
1 year of college basketball.
As they've talked about with, we've read in some college football articles about the NCAA maybe talking about being more lenient on how players can get value off of their likeness and image,
right,
and can make money. So there's always the thought that even though the NCAA is very progress is not very progressive in terms of a lot of things, if they end up letting players make money off their own likeness or image, then that is opens the door for guys to say, okay, hey, I can still, if I am this big of a recruit and people want to pay me for, you know, being in a commercial or whatnot, then yeah, I'll go to college. Like, I don't mind that for 1 year, maybe make some money. And yeah, so I don't know.
It's an individual big thing.
It is.
Very individual thing.
There's a lot of things that can change in the next 2 to 3 years,
right,
in terms of what the NCAA wants to do with how they look at how individuals can make money when they are playing collegiate sports.
Right. All right, on that note, we're a little bit late for the break. We'll take a quick timeout. Our thanks to Aaron Torres for joining us. Another great segment. He's awesome every time he's on the show. So we'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Whenever I go to search YouTube videos, usually the ones you view the most populate like at the top of the page. This one's in there. Big Papa.
Yes.
Back on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Cranking out 50,000 watts on just a gorgeous Saturday afternoon. Please get out and do something if you have time today. Get out for a run, get out for a walk. Hey, Todd Lebo's walking around the office. Is he working on a Saturday or is he just dropping in? What's Todd doing? You just dropping in? Just visiting? Okay, just running around, popping into work. So good stuff from our last guest, Aaron Torres. Boy, we covered a lot of ground there. I'm going to have to get a day where we bring Aaron in here get him on the phone for like an hour. Because normally our guests, we do the first half hour. That's what we do with our guests. And then we spend the next half hour either commenting on that or moving on to another topic. But Aaron Torres feels like he needs to be a one-hour guest. Because there's so much ground to cover. We covered so many different things in there. We covered the players we were talking about, Isaiah Moss, the Iowa grad transfer. We talked about Jalen Wilson. We talked about R.J. Hampton. We talked about the three-point line moving back in college basketball to the international level. We talked about playing halves versus quarters. We talked about, I mean, so many different things we covered in those 30 minutes. I feel like the next time we may have to beg him for an hour.
I mean, I think he was kind of reaching on the time factor just because there is 8 minutes less in a college basketball game.
Well, if you think about it, with the TV timeouts, it almost breaks into quarters anyway.
Yeah, and not saying there's not a lot of reviews in the NBA, but it seemed like in that NCAA tournament, they were extending games to about 2.5 hours sometimes.
Yeah.
Or not 2.5, but 2 hours to 15, 2 hours to 20 minutes,
yeah,
which is pretty close. Usually a normal NBA game, if there's no overtime, is around 2.5 hours.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, but I could talk to Aaron forever about all that stuff.
Aaron's great. He's awesome.
I don't really know. Like, he said he talked to John Calipari about the three-point line getting moved back, and Calipari said, I don't know. We just don't know yet. Maybe it's a bigger deal. Maybe it takes some of that away from the 6'10 guy who can get out on occasion and hit a three. Maybe that takes that out a little bit. Maybe, as Aaron said, that opens up to play more of the two-man big game. which we just don't see.
As I had one coach in youth basketball say, this game is all about spacing.
Yes.
And
that's
basketball is all about space and having the ability to have two-man games, pick-and-roll situations, which is what the NBA game is. It's all about the pick-and-roll. That's what a lot of teams do. And granted, there isn't a defensive 3 seconds in college basketball like there is in the NBA, so not a lot of NBA teams play zone. But that three-point line, stretching that three-point line and having basically five out now for most teams, not a true center that is a back-down post-center, that makes you really stretch thin on the defensive end sometimes. So we'll see how if this – but it all depends, too, do you have guys that can hit threes?
Right.
That is what it comes down to. Maybe you'll see. I don't know. You know who I think it will help though. Mid majors, I think a lot in terms of if you have quicker guys and you have to bring out 6'11" guys even farther out to guard on the perimeter,
right.
Take guys off the bounce.
It'll change a little bit. I don't know if it'll be significant.
It's not going to be. I don't know if it's going to be that significant, but. It's something.
Yeah. It's just it's something to kind of file in the back of your mind as you're watching college basketball this fall and into the winter. Good stuff from Aaron Torres. And like I said, we talked about, you know, would it be a trend of players going overseas who don't want to play college sports? It was kind of like the discussion we had last week about that kid who was going to be drafted in Major League Baseball.
And goes to Japan.
And goes to Japan is going to make $6-7 million, which is way more than he would have made by playing in the minor leagues, even with the bonus money and getting to the big leagues. It takes 6 years to get to free agency. So he's going to make more money going to Japan. And will that be a trend? I don't know. That'd be difficult, at least for me as an 18-year-old kid to. Go to Japan, not speak the language, and try to fit in with a club and a baseball culture that is different from ours. Not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's different. It's a different way they approach the game in a different way. And I really don't see a flood of high school graduates going to Japan to play baseball, but we'll see. Scott Boras is going to try it. This will be a test case for Scott Boras, so he can take it to his other potential clients and say, look, I got this kid $7 million. You think you want to do it? I got a team over here lined up that'll take you. On that note, speaking of taking things, we need to take our final timeout as we wrap up, getting close to wrapping up hour number three. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Clash? No, yeah. It's always good with a little The Clash. Final segment here for hour number three here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It is Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. We're going to take you up until noon, and then we'll take a timeout, maybe refill my ice water, and then we're right back at noon with baseball tonight. Royals and White Sox at 1:15 p.m. at Kauffman Stadium. The rare Saturday day game. I wonder why that is. I wonder why they picked this.
Well, sometimes earlier in the year, they'll
do the Saturday day games.
They'll do the Saturday day before it gets too hot, and then they'll bump it to that usually 6:10 first pitch on Saturdays.
I wonder if they purposely moved it up so that the guys could go participate in the Big Slick poker tournament tonight, which should be a lot of fun. That's fun stuff last night. What a great show today, Chris. Great guest. This was a really good one today. I'd never had Reed Forgrave on the show before from CBSSports.com, who covers the NBA. Never had him on the show before. Great personality.
Yeah, love
funny,
that.
Instructive, informative. So good stuff from Reed Forgrave. If you missed that, you can get on the podcast at 810WHB.com. Reed Forgrave. Really, really good stuff on the NBA, and especially about Fred VanVleet and the players. I did not know the Raptors did not have one lottery pick on their roster. I didn't know that. I don't know. Maybe I should, but they don't.
Mm-hmm. Just look through it. Not a lot of underrated pieces, at least coming out as a draft pick or prospects for the NBA.
A little Warriors-esque, maybe. Not having those lottery picks. So good stuff from Reed. Appreciate the time. In the 10 o'clock hour, we had Matt Lawrence on the show talking Sporting KC. Matt, the color analyst for TV and radio here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And Sporting's disappointing 2-2 draw up in Toronto last night, surrendering that last goal in the 95th minute.
It seems like every game there's a few defensive lapses where they're not marking properly or miscommunication on who needs to be marked when a ball is whipped in into the box. But trials and tribulations. Sporting KC, I mean, the fans have been blessed and kind of spoiled with how good and how consistent this team has been over the years, especially since Peter Vermees has been here. So sometimes there are some rough spots. It's not all sunshine and roses.
No Matt Beisler last night either. And when you're talking about locking down a defense, and as Matt said, this is the 12th different defensive pairing for Sporting KC this season. That's a lot. I mean, it used to be Beisler and Aikapara, just week in, week out, year after year.
Sinovic, as one of the fullbacks.
Yep. So missing some key players last night. And, of course, Johnny Russell's with the Scottish national team, and Christian Nemeth is with the Hungarian national team. So missing two of your critical offensive players.
I'm really excited to see Nemeth, Gerso, and Russell back as attacking.
Oh, yeah.
Up top, it's going to be really, really fun. That's when they were at their best this season.
So if you miss Matt Lawrence, you can get that at 810WHB.com on the podcast page. And as we said, we had Aaron Torres on this hour from Fox Sports Radio and his podcast, the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast. Good stuff, good stuff. All right, the rest of the day today, again, we got baseball tonight at noon. You got any big plans later today, Chris? Get outside, do something, throw the weights around. I have to take
my dad to the airport.
Okay.
And then,
that's always fun.
Yeah, I got to go check out the new construction.
I was going to say, have you seen the destruction?
I have not.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll see. I don't really know what the rest of the day. I'm pretty tired, so I'll probably take a nap.
Catch a nap, yeah.
Yeah, catch a snooze.
Always a good plan.
So we'll see how it goes.
I always like to. I'm a golf fan, but if I need to sleep, and it's during the day, I have a hard time falling asleep during the day, but I'll flip on a golf tournament and just like put it down real low where you can barely hear the announcers. Like you can hear the golf swing, but the announcers are down really low.
Or you can just fall asleep to the Royals if they're playing horribly today.
Ouch. Oh.
But hopefully they can build off of that.
Bowling from the top rope. That last night win,
so we'll see.
Wow. From the upper deck, just came falling down into the seats. Jeez.
Get after it, baby. Taking names out here.
Okay. I don't laugh on the air all that often, that hard, but that was funny. Or you could just turn on a Royals game. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, so thanks once again. Reed Forgrave, CBSSports.com, Matt Lawrence, Sporting KC color analyst, and Aaron Torres from Fox Sports Radio. Thanks to Chris Bowling. My name is Brad Porter. We'll step aside and we'll restart with baseball tonight next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.